Hello, everyone, and welcome back to This Is Us Portland, a community conversation. We will have Allie Benke, our community outreach coordinator and our early childhood person, and totally introduce our guest that we're very excited to have with us today. So, Allie, please introduce our guest.
Today I'm proud that Dr. Laura Melman from our Portland Family Medicine and Pediatrics is here with us today to talk about some of the things that have been going on with our kids and families related to COVID-19, and welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Allie and Mary, for having me today. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about COVID with the families of Portland.
Yeah, we're excited just to, I thought maybe we could jump into just a little conversation about kind of, you know, a lot of us know a lot of information, maybe too much information and misinformation. There's some nerves going back to school and how we protect our kids and how we protect our families as we transition kind of into a new stage of this. Can you give me maybe just sort of a feel of what you're seeing in your practice?
Yeah, so here in Portland, I have to say families have done a very good job of social distancing in this area. And initially when the state kind of locked down due to coronavirus, I did see some kids with kind of, I would say, non-specific illnesses, you know, fevers and, you know, general kind of COVID symptoms that may have had COVID, but during that time, the testing was not that great. And we really were not testing all of these kids. We were just generally saying, well, the whole state is quarantined, everyone should be quarantined. And my patients luckily did very, very well, those who did have those types of symptoms. But currently in the practice, we really have not been seeing a lot of sick kids. The good news is that the way we kind of measure COVID activity in a community is by percentage of positive tests. Okay. So of all the people who are tested, how many of those are actually positive? And the percentage of positive tests yesterday in the state of Connecticut was 0.22%.
Right.
So we're at a really low rate in Connecticut. And even Dr. Fauci has says we're the model for the United States of how Connecticut has responded to COVID being very, people in the state have been very responsible about social distancing and wearing masks. So I'm really happy to report, Allie and Mary, that really I am not seeing children sick with COVID, and I'm seeing my patients say that they really are doing their part to social distance and wearing their masks, and people are really understanding that. And I think because of that, you know, we did have the peak in hospitalizations, and that was like in the middle of May, and there were a lot of people sick with COVID. But luckily right now, people seem to be pretty healthy, which is great for our communities and is going to be helpful for the kids who are deciding to go back to school in just a few weeks.
Right, right. Yeah, it's funny because you always, you know, you're always grateful for where you live. I am anyway.
Yeah,
and I'm super grateful now because it does feel, you know, like everybody's taking it seriously, where you look at other states and it's mind blowing.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel very fortunate to live in a state where, you know, when you go to the grocery store, you really do see people putting on their masks and taking it seriously. And as many people know, that is the most important thing we can do is wear at least a cloth face cover and wash our hands when we're entering and exiting our houses, and frequently when we're out and about. That is the number one thing you can do to protect your kids and family from acquiring COVID.
Right.
I think one of the things that everyone is really, well, anxieties are running high right now. I am starting to get lots of calls and talking with a lot of different entities that are going to be childcare providers as well as parents. And anxiety is running high. In Portland, we have not put out yet what our model is going to look like for going back to school. And I think one of the things that's concerning to people is that they don't know what it's going to look like yet. But I think that my hope is that, and I live in Portland, that a lot of the people have actually taken, as you said, the mask issue really to heart and have been getting their children out wearing masks as well. Because I know that at first that wasn't a priority, that children mm-hmm. didn't have to wear a mask. So when you do go around town and you see those families getting out of their cars, it is really good to see them get out and all put on masks.
Yeah.
I was at a store yesterday, was not in town. A family got out. Nobody had a mask on and went into the store. And I had to go there and I made the decision I would not go back to that store again. But I think the parents who maybe have not been having their children wearing masks right now, when they start school, they're going to have a mask on all day. Do you have any kind of guidance on that for a parent to suggest how they can, they've got a very short amount of time. If school opens on September 1st, which is right around the corner, how can they get right now, start working with their child to ease that tension with them of wearing a mask all day and keeping it on?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Mary. And I think practicing is really helpful. So first of all, get a mask that's comfortable for your child, that fits well, that's not pulling at their ears, that's not slipping down, because if it's constantly slipping down, then they're going to be touching their nose, and that's exactly what we don't want them to do. And then secondly, you know, practicing a little bit, like maybe you start in an outdoor location where you feel it's safe, you know, you take them maybe to, you know, an open space, an open park, and have them wear the mask for a while and keep it on and see how they're doing. But I think that if parents have a good attitude about it and they say, I really think you're going to do great, you're going to wear this mask, it's going to keep you so safe, look, mom does it, and they have a good attitude and they feel like it's possible, I think the kids really will follow. I've been so impressed with my patients. They all come in, over two were recommending they wear a mask. They all come in, if you know, and they're all wearing usually their own mask. And if not, we provide them with we have surgical masks that actually fit kids. If kids are having trouble wearing a mask, sometimes the surgical mask is more breathable. So you can actually buy pediatric, so size, like small size kids surgical masks. And those are actually a lot more breathable and kids may do better with that. So I tell parents, like, if they're really struggling because they've got a small face and it's kind of slipping down, as sometimes that pediatric surgical mask you can buy and you can reuse it several times as long as that it's not dirty or broken. Yeah.
I heard something that was really funny about, you know, helping, not funny. It's not funny, but a suggestion was in the next coming weeks prior to school starting, every time your child uses a device, so TV, anything, you should have them wear a mask. And it was kind of like twofold, right? Practice. And also maybe we cut a little bit of device usage. I thought that was pretty funny when I read it.
That
I
is like,
well, that's a smart idea, right? Like, you know, the parent just saying, hey guys, anytime you use a phone or whatever your kid uses, you know, you got to wear a mask. That's the family rule. And it kind of, you know, double-edged sword. You can, maybe cut some usage and then also get them accustomed to wearing. Because I know my own kids, as much as they go out, you know, we don't do much out. So it's a very brief amount of mask wearing. So it's just kind of building up that tolerance of there's a big difference between, you know, running in somewhere or being in a car with a friend, you know, and with your masks on, and then, you know, being in school.
Definitely.
One of the other things that we're seeing are the kids right now who have been social distancing, who have been wearing masks, but have been doing that and doing really well at it, but now we're going to be put into a situation going into a room with how many, it's going to be smaller numbers, definitely, but I think the anxiety of those kids, because I know that from other different things that have happened within town, that those children are very afraid to be near people. Mm. They need those people to be away from, don't come near me. Don't come near me. I'm, you know, and that's one of those things. How can we help our parents in telling them what they can tell their children and relieve that feeling of something's going to happen to me if I get close to somebody.
I think the reassuring part in kids is that although there is this multi-system inflammatory syndrome that parents are hearing about related to COVID, it's exceedingly rare. I read that it's only 2 in 100,000 kids who have COVID that we know have COVID, because there's many more kids out there who are asymptomatic. But other than that, kids have done very well with COVID. Not that we want kids to get COVID, but I think kind of giving some perspective on this is really not, you know, it's not, there's risk, but it's not that, I don't want to say that dangerous, because it is a dangerous disease, especially for if kids bring it home and bring it to grandparents or bring it to elderly family members or kids who have a specific risk. If they have special healthcare needs, they could be at greater risk. But for the average child, I think we can reassure them that even if they were to get COVID, the likelihood is that they would do okay. They may need to have some check-ins with their primary care provider, but they would be okay. And I think reassuring them, if they do the right thing and they wear their mask and stay 6 feet away from people, the risk is really low. So I think kind of giving them tools where the schools are working very hard, I know, to make sure kids are able to stay 6 feet apart and wear masks. And I think if they have those tools of, I know what 6 feet looks like, we should show kids what does it look like to be 6 feet away from each other.
That's a good thought.
Yeah.
Showing them what the 6 feet looks like.
Yeah, and reassure them a little bit about how kids do. I think the kids can spread this illness, so that's where it becomes difficult for community members, and especially older community members, is that, if they go home and spread it to grandma or to, a more immunocompromised family member or someone with a health condition, that can be a little bit scarier for families.
What is your take? I like when you were talking about role modeling, the parental role modeling or caregiver role modeling, how we deal with anxiety around it, really the perspective that you bring to your child, and how, we all know that that's how kids learn, and that's kind of the point of view that they will take. So I would imagine some of those fears, because there's fears all over the place. I've heard from my own child, that's her biggest fear, is getting it and spreading it. And the things we've been telling her is really just, we're making the best choices that we can make with safety in mind, and we'll continue to do that and really try to alleviate anxiety through our own words. So even though I have anxiety, really not sharing that, right? So kind of keeping those conversations private and just doing the reassuring, because if you make a decision as a family, that's the decision, right?
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree with that, Ellie. I think we have to, stay strong a little bit for our kids. And although we may be nervous about them, our family getting coronavirus or, have some feelings about it, I think it's great to say that we're doing everything we can to be safe. We're doing everything we can in our control. And that's why, mom and dad, or mom and grandma, or whoever's at home with the child, really want you to wear your mask, stay 6 feet away, make sure to wash your hands, doing all those things, and really let kids know what's in their control and that they can do that to protect them. That can sometimes help worriers, as this is what we can do to protect. I think also, a lot of families ask me, I don't know if this question has come up, but what should I do? My school district is offering a distant learning model, and they're also offering an in-person learning model. And, what should I choose? And I tell families that I really don't think that they can choose wrong. Every family really needs to look at the health risks in their family, their ability to care for their children if they're not in school. Each child has individual learning needs. Some children need to be in school more because there's special support services they get in school. And I tell families, this is hopefully going to be only a short period of time. Eventually we're going to be able to go back to school normally. And during this time, everyone really needs to just think hard about weigh the risks and the benefits of going in person versus doing a distant learning model. And you know, you really can't choose wrong for your child as long as you're thinking about all the things that are going to affect your child and your family. Because some families do have special health conditions where if someone in the family gets sick, it may be very serious for the family member. So, and I think as community members, you know, I hope that we can be supportive of all families and their choice that they make.
Right. I like that. Well. That it's not, you know, what is right for one family is not necessarily right for your own family. And yeah. that really looking at it through your own lens and, you know, evaluating all of that, I think, and giving people permission to make the best choice for them. Cause I think that's hard, right? You tend to follow because it's easier and it's scary, but really to look at it from your own, you know, your own needs and not be, I don't know if ashamed is the word, but not be afraid of your own choice. I like that a lot. Encouraging people to really make the best choice for them.
And I think stressing that it's not necessarily a bad, none of the varieties that we're having are a bad choice. It's what you feel is right for your family. So it's not a bad choice to make a decision to do all remote. It's not a bad decision to send them to the model that's going to be set up through the school, whatever they feel comfortable with and do it that way too. So that sort of gives all of us what we've just said, that it's the family that needs to feel comfortable with their decision, but there's no wrong choice.
Definitely.
There's nothing wrong with making that choice.
Can I, I was hoping to switch the conversation a little bit in the direction of what we can do.
There's something else besides COVID?
Yeah, well,
is there something else that we're
going to... One of the things that's near and dear to my heart is, you know, prevention, but also prevention from a wellness standpoint. Yeah. And that this is related to kids, but also related to everyone, adults. So what are some of the steps from your perspective that families could do to protect themselves? Because, you know, we could get ill. And we know that, but what are some of the things that we can be proactive about as, you know, as human beings and then as parents and caregivers for our own kids?
Yeah. And I think that this, you know, our kids have been out of school for longer than they've really ever been out of school. As a mom of three kids who are 5, 8, and 10, you see those sleep routines, you know, they're kind of going to bed a little later each night and waking up a little later each day. So kind of some of the sleep routines have, gotten a little bit out of whack in my house, and I can imagine in other people's houses they're dealing with the same thing. So some of the basic things we can do can put us in a better position that if we do get sick, we're going to be a little bit healthier. So sleep, I mentioned, I think it's really important in the next couple of weeks for kids to start trying to get on a schedule where they're going to sleep a little bit earlier, focusing on getting enough sleep for their age group. So for younger kids, they may need 11 to 12 hours a day, those early elementary kids. And even high school kids need more sleep because they're in that period of rapid adolescent growth. So they need more sleep. So everyone kind of to focus a little bit more on going to sleep a little bit earlier, waking a little bit earlier to get back in the swing of things, because sleep is really, really important for health. Exercise can be very, very helpful, especially you were talking about kids feeling stressed. And I think a lot of kids have spent a fair bit of time in front of screens since we started, quarantining and sheltering in place. And I think getting people outside in the fresh air to get some exercise can be very, very helpful for mental health and also physical health.
Right.
And of course, like good eating habits, drinking lots of water, staying hydrated, all of those things can put you in a better spot. So when you're, when you do get sick, if you've been eating very healthfully and you're going to probably be in a better, your body's going to be in a little bit of a better place than if you had been kind of sleep deprived and not eating well and not taking care of yourself, then when you get sick, it's a little bit harder to kind of turn it around. So I think that's important. Kids really thrive on routines. And so I think some of the hardest part about distance learning for some kids is that there's just kind of disruption of routine, or the routine changes every day because, the teacher is online certain days at this time or, you know, another time, or the parents can't do the distance learning at the same time because the parents are working and the kid needs assistance with that learning. So if the family can kind of try to figure out a routine that works for them. I realize for every family that's going to be different depending on their needs, but finding out a routine, and when the kids can predict what's coming, oftentimes it's a little bit easier if they know every day at, you know, what is it, like 9 a.m. it would be, you know, my family, we've had our breakfast and we start our, you know, our distance learning, if it's going to be distance learning, or that's the time that, you know, mom or dad has to drop me off at school. That's going to be, you know, for them to be able to predict exactly what's coming is helpful.
Yeah. I think one of the things we forget sometimes is that kids are super resilient. It's easy to fall, right? It's easy to fall into the, oh my gosh, they can't do this, they can't do that. Like, and kids are resilient, but they're often resilient because they have role models that help them through that with a nice positive lens looking at things. And I like that, setting up a structure that works within your family and really providing kids comfort there. So even, I know our district just went to the hybrid, you know, 2 days on, 3 days off. You know, that's hard. And your knee-jerk reaction is, oh my God, they can't do that. But the reality is they can. You know, they'll get used to that. That'll be their 2 days on, 1 day live off, like, and they'll get used to it. And we'll, you know, sit down and what we'll do is create a structure around it. And it'll just be the new norm for a little while. And I think, you know, it'll be positive because you look at it that way. And it's easy to be so negative at first. Like I'm right there with you. Like I get the email and I freak out too. Like, but then you stop and you breathe and you say, okay, what's this going to look like? And I told my kids and they were like, you know, one of them's horse crazy. So she's like, cool, I'll be in the barn a couple days. I'm like, okay. So she'll do her schooling and she's, you know, able to roll with it. So, I mean, I kind of learned from her, just say, all right, that's how it'll be. Like you get a little extra barn time. That's cool.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great positive outlook. And if parents can have positive outlooks, that'll transfer to the kids. And I think setting up some routine. So if, like you said, Allie, if your kids are in school 2 days a week, it's nice if they know on the other 3 days a week, like how is life going to look? Because at school, they kind of get used to that routine, but it would be nice if they, you know, they're going to know, okay, my barn time is going to be at, you know, noon, because that's when my teacher takes a break for lunch or you know, whatever is going to work for the schedule, but give them some predictability there. And kids do very well. And I think they're learning a lot. I think people are very hesitant. Are they learning enough if they're at home? But I think they're learning a lot about many, many different things. Just having lived through this history that we're kind of passing
it's
through.
It's funny that you say that. I teach spin a little bit. So I teach some fitness classes and I've taught classes outside with, you know, a billion feet between four people. And one of my classes, I have a seventh grade girl. She's going into seventh grade. And she comes with her mom. And, you know, one of the days, this is a couple weeks ago, everybody's talking about this and, you know, hemming and hawing, and she's quiet and I can see her kind of, you know, like just doing her thing, riding her bike. And then I said something to her and, you know, about the conversation. And she said to me, she said, well, you know what, if it's going to teach me something, it's going to teach me how to be flexible. And it's going to teach me.
Totally.
And I was like, I love you so much. And then her mom was there and I was like high fiving her mom from a distance. Cause you know, like there's a reason why she's as flexible as she is. And she really sees it as an opportunity to learn and grow. And learn that, you know, not everything goes the way that you anticipated going. And so I think a lot of kids can have that perspective if we model that as adults.
Definitely.
And that's kind of been my own goal. I really learned from her in that moment and kind of registered as a parent to be like, you know what, really monitor your language in the next few weeks as you start school. And, you know, sometimes we learn from our kids. So
yeah,
anyway, that's a lesson
definitely.
For a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah, that's great. And it's great that she's spinning with you, getting ready to be healthy.
She's an athlete, so she wanted to stay fit. And she's with her mom, which is like amazing, right? A mom and daughter doing this.
Yeah.
So cool.
That's really
like,
awesome.
Good for them.
That's really great. That's really great. Yeah.
As we wrap up, is there anything else that you think we missed or?
I'm trying to think.
I think we covered a lot.
I think
right?
One of the main questions I think parents are going to have is, you know, what do I do if my child has symptoms? And, you know, even if they're mild, so, you know, with kids, some kids returning to school, they will be exposed to other kids and fall colds will kick in or allergies may kick in. And, you know, what if the child does have a, mild sore throat, which happens to be a symptom of COVID. And I think that, you know, to keep everyone safe this fall, we're going to have to be a little bit more vigilant and make sure if our kids are having symptoms to keep them home and monitor for a couple of days. Yeah. I don't necessarily think we have to run out every single time and see if they have, you know, need a COVID test, but I think just monitor for a little bit, make sure we're doing that self-care, maybe jump onto the distance learning bandwagon for a couple of days and see if, you know, does allergy treatment help it, or, you know, was it just a fatigue thing, or it's just a couple of days, and definitely speaking to your primary care provider about if it's kind of symptoms are going on or they're getting more severe about what return to school is, because we just want to keep everyone safe in our schools and be responsible in terms of, you know, what we want to show up. We want our kids and our teachers to show up every single day healthy, so that, you know, they're not as likely to transmit the virus. You know, if everyone's That's healthy, they're not point. Transmitting. So just kind of to be, and unfortunately with COVID, there is this asymptomatic transmission. So, you know, even healthy kids could have COVID and could give other kids COVID. But if we can prevent at least the ones who are symptomatic from bringing it to other kids in school, I think that'll be really helpful for families and keep our schools to be healthy places, so that hopefully eventually we can get back to our the regular where, you know, everyone gets picked up by the bus in the morning and is able to join their friends. Yeah.
A little less pushing through, which is kind of what people have, you know, traditionally, you know, like, yeah, it's not that bad, gonna power through the day. A little bit more, you know, take it easy. So if you do have signs, which could very well be a cold,
right,
just take it easy for a couple of days and, you know, make sure you don't bring it to the school. I think that's
right
advice. Yeah.
I think that's gonna be a big question for parents, is every symptom kids get, you start to think, well, does my child have coronavirus? And that happened to me in the spring in March. My son had pretty bad cough, like I didn't know if it was allergies. I didn't know if he had coronavirus. And turned out I treated him with some allergy medication and he stopped coughing, but it was kind of going on and on. You think we were social distancing at that point because everyone was sheltering in place, but, you know, you start to question, is it allergies or does he, you know, have the virus? So I think that's a normal concern for parents. And, I think all the primary care providers in the area are getting ready to, you know, field kind of the school-based questions of what should my child go back if they have this symptom or that symptom. So definitely talk to your PCP.
Right. That's a really nice question that we can ask of our school systems too, right? If you do have a kid that, if you decide on their on day, if it's a hybrid model, if they aren't feeling well, can you jump on to the, just for that day or those 2 days? That's an important question.
Yeah,
because I can see that happening, because people want to be responsible. We see that in our state already, of people really stepping up to the plate to be responsible. So you can see that, you know, that taking place and helping parents know what is the right move.
I think it's really cool, because now we've gotten a lot of expertise in a short time in distance learning. So you start thinking about it, you know, instead of a child having a sick day, if they're not really that sick.
No more sick days.
Yeah, they can really kind of jump online and do distance learning and maybe not miss out on something that they were learning with their class. And who knows what snow days will look like in the winter, you know, if everyone will just jump on the...
I think one of the things that the school has been talking about in their meetings is basically how your child feels in the morning or when they're during the school day, if symptoms come up. And I think they've come up with a plan for that. So one of the things that I haven't heard yet, doesn't mean it wasn't said, but was exactly that, if my child doesn't feel well today and I decide to keep him home for the day, can I jump on to the distant learning? And that's definitely a question that parents should probably start asking the system so that they're going to know whether that's going to be an option.
Right.
I don't know at this point if that is going to be an option.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, great thoughts. And it was so good that you had the ability to take the time today to join us and share with some of the things that we're seeing in town and you've been seeing as a pediatrician.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
I think
nice meeting you, Mary.
He will cut that. Thank you so much. That was great. I think I think a lot of it's just helping parents breathe a little.
Yeah.
And this might just help them breathe, like relax.
So that's what we're going to say. Take a deep breath. And with that, I think we're going to end our conversation.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.